That's right. That's right. Amen.
To Bethlehem of Judea. young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts in hand to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Them being divinely warned and trained that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
I realize, and I'm hoping that you do too, that the scripture that we're going over today is a parallel in the Gospels to Luke chapter 2, which is the birth of Christ. Amen? However, it shares a unique perspective on the birth of Christ. And what I want you to see is that there's a divide that takes place. So I'm going to come to you today from the subject of gathering together around Christ. Amen? Gathering together around Christ. And we're going to find that throughout our lives it's necessary for us to gather together, to unify, to come together. But even when we do, and even through our struggles, we're going to need to do what? To come together in Christ. Amen? In a Christian way. Not an unorthodox way, a Christian way. Because sometimes as we're out in the world and we're traveling and we're doing some of the things that we do, even if you're traveling locally, we forget who we are.
Well.
Come on now, I know you guys. You know what? We're human, right? We make mistakes. We say things we don't mean. You know, sometimes we have to apologize for that, right?
Right.
But don't neglect doing that. It's important that we apologize, repent, and move on. But I want to talk about some wise men today. The first part of our story talks about a journey that took from the east. Amen? We had three wise men who were seeking for the child known as Christ, right? Seeking because he was going to be born and they wanted to be there. They were of a spiritual sense that something good was happening in the world. But being as wise as they were on their journey coming from the east, they thought to themselves, well, if I'm going, come on, if I'm looking for this child, then the first thing I need to do is to go to the holy place. How many of y'all go to your holy place when you're looking for something? How many of you ask God to show you where it is? Come on now. I do it. I know there's got to be some more folks out there that do it. Come on, you folks out there on Facebook, you are on YouTube, I know some of you, when you're looking for something, when you found something, or when you've lost something, or when you're just looking for something, you go to God. See, we think we know it all, but God's got it. Come on, somebody say, God's got it. Amen. God's got it. And we forget sometimes that God's got it. He's the reservoir of everything we could have ever known, ever seen before. But we also know, too, that we have to go through Christ, right? To get to the promised land that we know of, the heavenly promised land. So let's think about this. These three wise men, they're headed, they're on a journey, they want to find this child, and they had the thought, why don't I go to the holy place? Because I'm on a spiritual journey, right? If I'm on a spiritual journey, my first thought is to go to the holy place. And where was the holy place? The holy place was Jerusalem, right? Because that's the city of God, right? So if I'm looking for a godly experience, a new savior, a new ruler, then I don't know where to find him, then I want to go to the godly place. Amen? Anybody agree? Praise the Lord. We should always go to our godly place. But sometimes we falter. Sometimes we falter because when they got to the godly place, and I'm going to try not to keep y'all too long, so I'm going to move through this rather quickly, all right? When they got to the godly place and they asked about the child, nobody seemed to know about it because the king of Jerusalem, who was Herod, he didn't know what was going on, and he's supposed to be the leader of the spiritual world that we know of, right? All of Israel. Well, they might have. He had to think about it for a minute. So he said, look, let me call up my chief priest. Let me call up my scribes. Let me see what they say, you know, because I don't know what you're talking about. So obviously he was out of his center with God. Amen. He was not being or was not connected to the one whom he was supposed to be as a leader over the holy city. Come on, y'all hear me, right? As a leader over the holy city, he was not connected enough with God that he would know that there was a child that was to be born. Sometimes we're not in our holy place. Sometimes we don't connect when we should. So the objective here is to always be connected to what? Jesus Christ, right? Always be connected to your holy place. Always follow your spiritual guide. Amen? And see, even the story of Jesus, what we have, we have to realize that there's parts of his life that we have to come to understand. You know, we have to come to understand his birth. We then have to come to understand his living, his life. Then we have to come to understand his death, the crucifixion. Amen? And then his ascension. All of those parts of the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, are important to our faith walk. So we should all, as I stated early, gather together, even in the church, amen, gather together, right, around Christ. That's important. We need to know. We need to share. We need to just, with each other, come to understand that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. As we come into the temple, when we worship, we are worshiping God, and we are giving praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's give him a hand. Come on now. In this story, right about verse 4, he calls. There's one gathering. That gathering is the gathering that is not so great. Even though they were able to come up with the prophecy of Bethlehem, you know, producing a leader, a ruler of the children of Israel, the king didn't like that. He was the ruler of Israel. But the question would be, was he doing a good job that God had to send another Savior into the world right next door to him and he didn't have a clue? Sometimes we entertain angels. Come on. Unaware. Right next to you. Sometimes they step in and help out and you don't realize that there was an angel that came your way until after the fact. But in this place, here you have the Israelites, you have their ruler, King Herod, and you have Jesus on the scene in Bethlehem, having just been born. And you've got these three wise men who decided that from somewhere, a distant place, that this spiritual event was about to happen, and they had to be there. Folks, we should show up. We should be there. We should have Jesus so much in our hearts that wherever Jesus is, we should be. And when we leave this place, we should carry who? Jesus with us. So when we come to church, when we give the reverence to the pulpit, when we praise our Savior, we need to be full with the knowledge and the wisdom of the three wise men and Jesus Christ. Amen. Because they knew it was going to happen. They just had to figure out where. And they did that. But unfortunately, it's sad that they went to the holy city and the holy city was not aware of what was going on right around them. Or at least the leadership of the holy city. That's not a good thing. In today's world, our leadership should be aware. Amen? Don't you think so? Praise God. They should be aware.
But we also too fall short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. We're not perfect, so we have to look at that. But the king kind of had a different motive. Once I heard the prophecy, once he heard the prophecy, he did not want the competition. Amen? Because this new leader that was coming up was to rule the people that he's ruling in the holy city. Jesus was supposed to be the king of the Israelites who was coming on the scene. So, if you have a jealous and wrong spirit and you're in leadership, you don't want the competition. Amen? We shouldn't be like that, folks. We should be sharing with all whom we come in contact with the love of God and the presence of Jesus Christ. We should be even outside these doors gathering together around Christ. Now, I know this is a Christmas story, but there's a second mass going on. That's the Christ mass. Come on, Christmas, Christ mass. We know what a mass is, right? It's an assembly, amen? We are massed together right now in worship around our God and our Savior. Because we in our hearts and in our spirits need to know he's right here with us. They are right here with us. But in that situation, he turned around and he pulled the three to the side because he didn't want anybody else to know what he was doing. So I'm going to do wrong, but I'm going to make sure nobody knows I'm doing wrong. That's even worse than what I said before. It's a hidden wrong. I'm the leadership. I don't want my followers to know I'm getting ready to kill their king or their new king. So what he said something important, folks. I want you, can you put up verse 8? Is that possible? That's 7. Let's see, 8 is right below. Got you. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, now this is important. I want y'all to hear this. See, even when we're wrong, sometimes we get it right. Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. We need to be able to share that same thought with everybody else. Keeping in mind that the one who said it had wrong intentions. But sometimes even when you have wrong intentions, you say what? The right thing, amen? And he said that we need to go search out the child. And when we find him, bring back the word. And when we bring back the word, we need to go worship him, amen? Is that what not we're here for? Praise God. Hallelujah. And amen. So once the child is found, and we should be speaking and spending our lives searching for Christ Jesus. Amen. They found him right where they said he was going to be. They had by the star and the direction toward Bethlehem. They found him. And when they did, they gave him gifts. Amen. So now here around the child, you have people massing. That's the good man. Amen. That's the one where we lift up our Savior and we give him praise and we give him our gifts. Amen. Just like the three wise men, giving gifts to God, giving gifts to Jesus is not a bad thing. It's a great thing. Amen. Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we forget that God has given us the gift, and we don't use the gift that God gives us. So at some point in time, we do what? We lose those gifts. Amen? Because God has given everybody a gift of some kind. If you've ever worked a job in the secular world, you've got a gift that you can use in the church. Amen? In some form or some fashion. But the most important thing is that we need to gather together around Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the church who will be what? Wed to Christ when the moment comes. So thus, we have to be together around the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God, which is the written word, right now. You can never have enough word in you. Never. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Yes, you can never have enough word in you. Give him glory, y'all. Come on now, hallelujah. Never have enough word in you. But I'm going to tell you, and then I was getting ready to say I'm going to sit down and take my seat, but I'm already sitting, amen. Y'all forgive me for that thought. There's two gatherings. There's a lot more gatherings in the world, but I'm only talking about two that are talked about in the Bible. See, but there's so many other gatherings in the world that we attach ourselves to that we don't realize by a gathering and gathering and gathering and gathering that it pulls us away from gathering with Christ. Amen. The more you gather in the world, and y'all, I'm talking about you football fans, you basketball fans, you baseball fans, you soccer fans, you know, and I'm talking about you women too with your little sports clubs that you like to watch and partake in. But not just sports. It could be anything. It could be a bar. You know, it could be a party somewhere. People in mass around everything that you can imagine. But when we look around and when we feel the truth of the matter, we realize there's not enough people amassing around what? Around Christ. See, you won't have a church if you don't put Christ at the head. And you want to be able to go outside this building. You want to be on your journey sharing the fact that Christ lives at Tabernacle. That God is always here. That the love of God abounds. I'm going to tell you, that's what drew me to Tabernacle almost 10 years ago. The love that was shown from the people who are part of Christ's body in this place. We have to love on each other no matter how that might look. Amen? Nobody's perfect, right? But we're seeking to get there. That's the one thing we should always remember. We're seeking to be righteous before God. We're seeking to keep Jesus at the forefront of our life. We're seeking to continue worshiping our God through the name of his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said he was the what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He said no man cometh unto God except what? By me. Now I'm going to venture to say woman too. Amen? Nobody comes to God except through Christ. So it's necessary that in all that we do that we keep Christ right here. Right here. Amen? The reason I said right here is because I mean in the church. But when I said right here, I mean in your heart. Sometimes that can be difficult, folks. Sometimes it can be truly difficult because God never promised us a what? A rose garden. Amen? He gave us one in the beginning, and as far as our foreparents were concerned, Adam and Eve, but like many of us, we struggle between good and evil. We have to stop struggling. We have to do good. We have to be righteous. Simply put, we just got to be right with God. And you can't be right with God unless you're right with Jesus. So I want to say to you that he is our Alpha. He is our Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the bright and the morning star. He's whom we should have and surround ourselves around together in worship and in praise. If this church did not have Jesus Christ in it, it would not be a church. If you do not believe me, go and study the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation. Jesus revealing unto John the issues that the church had. But the church don't have no issues if the people don't have no issues. Amen? If the people have the Holy Spirit, then the church has the Holy Spirit. Amen? So if we keep God in the center and Jesus at his right side, then we can tell anybody that we worship up in Tabernacle Baptist Church. Amen? And that they are welcome to come at any time and get the word of God in the place of God, in the temple of God, in honor of God. God is a good God. So we all, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, need to continue to gather together around our Savior. Amen. Amen. And glory to God. I'm not going to keep you. Let's move on with this service. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.